We may have entered a period where the stock market is especially out of sync with the real economy. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. After the big rally on Wall Street Thursday, stocks were trending downward in the first half hour of trading on Friday. On Fridays, we consult with Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello there, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So we had word in the last hour, you saw this, that wholesale prices in the U.S. unexpectedly fell last month, the fourth straight month for this. And on Thursday, we were talking retail prices were oddly down for February. What's going on?
Well, things are falling all over the place. A big part of this is energy, which gets into everything. In this case, it was trade services, that is stuff that companies buy from other companies. And airfares was a big part of it. Airfares finally dropping because oil prices are down. And then food, which it's meat prices, which lag way behind grain prices. They're finally coming down, too, as grain is pretty abundant this year.
We had the International Energy Agency today warning that modest moves upward in crude oil prices that we saw in recent weeks is the aberration, not the trend, since production is up.
Well, yeah, and it's up all over the world. So what's happening here in the U.S. is that the frackers, who are thought to be the high-cost producers, once they drill a well, there's cash flow as long as the oil is flowing, and they need cash to pay bills, to service debt. They're actually pumping more at $50 a barrel than they were at $100, and it turns out that same logic applies worldwide. We've got higher production through the Middle East and Latin America as well. So we are swimming in oil. And with all that production, prices are bound to go even lower.
Crude in Texas down another 2% right now. Now, very quickly, the Fed meets next week. Any of this alter your sense of when interest rates are going up? We've got about 15 seconds.
I think their eyes are on June, so watch them to drop that word patient from the March statement. If they do, then June it probably is.
Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, David.
A civics review now. Congress passes budgets that pay for things, but Congress waits until later to authorize the borrowing that'll be needed. Allowing for additional borrowing is known as raising the debt limit. Why this lesson today? The debt limit has been suspended for a while, but it gets reinstated, set your clocks, this Sunday night at a level of about $18 trillion. Tim Fitzsimmons now on how long the government can keep paying its bills.
The Department of Treasury has extraordinary measures it can deploy to draw out this fiscal purgatory for many months. Phil Wallach is a fellow at the Brookings Institution.
There are a series of Treasury accounting tricks, which have been made utterly ordinary by repeated use at this point, that allow us to remain in compliance with the letter of the debt ceiling law, even as we more or less violate the spirit.
But nobody knows when Treasury will run out of places to scrounge for cash because government money is lumpy. Lots of revenue comes in during tax season, for example, and the government sends out big checks in bursts. Romina Baccia, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, says Treasury will likely start by raiding retirement and disability funds for government employees. That's about $100 billion.
Under current projections, it will be October or perhaps even November by the time the Treasury runs out of its extraordinary measures.
So we can't say exactly when we have to start worrying about defaulting on our national debt, but we can say it's deja vu all over again. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
And the first nationwide labor action at oil refineries and chemical plants since about 1980 could soon come to an end. Sources say a tentative deal has been reached between representatives of oil companies and the United Steelworkers Union. The proposed contract reportedly has wording to limit dangerous worker fatigue and raises. It provides raises of between 2.5% and 3.5% a year over 4 years. It is the second anniversary of the election of Pope Francis. In 2 years, he's credited with breathing new life into the Catholic Church with a focus on reform. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, one priority has been cleaning up the Vatican Bank.
The Vatican Bank was created during World War II to manage the church's money. But over the years, it became mired in allegations of money laundering and tax evasion.
The reform that was needed was sort of
everything.
Gerald Posner wrote the book God's Bankers, A History of Money and Power at the Vatican. He says Pope Francis is pushing to make the bank more transparent.
So far, he's been the new sheriff in town.
The Pope's reforms have put him at odds with some inside the Vatican. And those reforms don't end with the Vatican Bank, says Eric LeCompte with Jubilee USA Network, a faith-based group that fights poverty.
Pope Francis wants the Vatican Bank to be a light on the hill because he has seen corruption in these institutions lend itself to fostering extreme poverty around the world.
But a relatively new pope in an ancient institution may find that change comes slowly. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And the European Union today agreed to augment Europe's power to enforce online and data privacy. It's a complicated system, but a future pan-European agency will eventually have the power to render final judgments on privacy matters involving companies such as Google, Facebook, Apple, et al. The ruling today gives individual EU countries more room to appeal cases to this higher authority. Among other objections, tech companies may find the new system cumbersome. The impetus for a good part of this is the Edward Snowden revelations about the extent of U.S. spying on data networks. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.